This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
I hit it hard, man.
Well, good Saturday morning, everybody. John and Charlie, Sean's our producer. Billy Harmon's going to be joining us in a little bit. We haven't been here in a little while. We apologize. We had some, man, we had the freeze, Charlie, and we had some technical difficulties. So it is great, great to be back here and talking some golf. And we got a lot to talk about, starting with Tiger this week. Where were you and what was your initial reaction when you heard that he had had the accident?
It took my breath away.
Yeah,
And the way the picture came of his car, it looked like he'd gone off a cliff, you know. And I said, oh, my God.
Especially after Kobe. You know, the initial reaction was, oh, how can this happen, too?
That's exactly right. And just right when he's getting back to make another comeback, interviewed by Jim Nantz on CBS, mm-hmm. you know, he's talking. But, wow, he's lucky.
Yeah, we're talking about, I mean, I was watching it too, saw that interview with Tiger, wanted to hear when he's coming back and everything else. And, you know, he wasn't even sure he's coming back for this Masters. Now, if he comes back in 2023 for that Masters, that'll be something, because these injuries with his legs and what's going on and what they have to do and the process that he's going to have to go through is really, really going to be really painful. And it's a long and strenuous and arduous process. It'll be amazing. If he comes back, this will be Hogan-like, won't it?
Alex Smith. I think that was caused more an affection. But he came back to play NFL football.
Yeah.
And if anybody can withstand what needs to be done, it's Tiger. Tiger's proved us wrong. I mean, you know, 2008, he wins the U.S. Open on a knee that he shouldn't be playing on. So the heart of a champion is hard to gauge, and he definitely has demonstrated his ability to come back from bad stuff.
Right. No. His whole body, I mean, all of the operations that he's been through and everything else, but this is a different deal now. So, you know, when he tees it, there'll be chills if he tees it up in the future. At Augusta, to, you know, that first tee shot, it'll be national news. But it'll be international news.
Well, I mean, I made the comparison, you know, Muhammad Ali Tiger.
He really is that big. So we're going to take a break. Billy Harmon's going to join us. He knows Tiger a little bit, so we'll talk to him about that and a lot more right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Let's bring in our good friend, Billy Harmon. And Billy, we've been talking, obviously, the biggest story of the year so far is Tiger Woods accident. You know Tiger a lot better than we do. You've had some experiences with him through your brother Butch. You guys, I know the Harmons used to play him a little. Dick used to talk about a few guys would scramble and he would play his own ball and see if y'all could beat him. So you know him a lot better than most everybody that's listening or certainly us. What's your initial reaction? Had to be stunning and some kind of sadness to hear what had happened to Tiger this week?
Well, first of all, you hope that he's okay. You know, the golf part to me becomes secondary. You know, it seems like I actually had somebody send me a video of the road that the accident happened on. There seems to me to be a lot of unanswered questions about what went on because, you know, there were no skid marks. But where this vehicle ended up and where it started was really something. You know, I didn't think he looked good on TV on Sunday.
No.
When he was interviewed by Jim Nantz. I thought he looked, just didn't look good. You know, I'm not going to have no idea why he didn't look good, but he just didn't look good. I thought he was kind of phlegmatic, low energy, looked a little puffy. Don't know why, you know. So it's hard to say, John and Charlie, because you know, his camp really is the master of the spin. So you never really get the whole story. And unfortunately, then that makes us guess what's going on, which then makes us not look very good, because in some ways it's none of our business and we don't know. So I don't really know what to think other than I hope that he's okay. I hope he can resume a normal life. It's hard for me to imagine that he's going to come back golf-wise now. I just can't imagine it for some reason. He was having a hard time before all this happened. You know, his body's been breaking down for the last 10 years or so, since 2008 when he won the Open with a broken leg almost. So, you know, but we had this conversation before he won the Masters. If anybody could do it, it would be him. But I don't know. I don't know how he could physically overcome this and get any semblance of his quality of golf back. And so I just hope that, you know, his recovery is successful, and he can go on to live a normal life. He certainly doesn't have to prove anything golf-wise to anybody. So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions about what went on, but it would be kind of irresponsible for me to guess.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, one of the things that I heard, Bill, is he doesn't want to go out this way.
Of course not.
He is going to probably do everything he can to rehab and get back. I mean, if anybody can show that he can come back from tragedy, it's Tiger Woods, mentally and physically. And, you know, when I first saw the accident, I was just praying to God he hadn't died. I mean, it looked that poorly.
Right.
And then one of the guys that's pretty astute to this type of, he's an insurance guy, he said, looks to me like a cell phone accident. Is that because there was no, you know, signs of alcohol or anything
or
like
skidding
that.
Or spraking.
No, yeah. Skidding, and it looks.
Of course, like, that was interesting that they came up with that in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, right.
No sign of impairment. How would they know that? Did they blood test them on the spot? Or see, that's the part that to me is confusing. That. You know, because he's had a history of some issues with pain pills. And let me tell you something. I never had an issue with them, but I know a lot of people that have, and they're very, very difficult to wean yourself off of. So I'm not being critical of that. But I just found that so odd within the first 30 minutes of this crash that came out. Like, really? When did you find out that he wasn't impaired? Did you do a blood test? You know what you had in his system. So I don't, and there were no skid marks, Charlie, and that's also kind of odd.
Yeah, right.
Very odd.
Right.
I've seen the road. I'll send you the video of the road if you want while we're on the show. And when you see where his car went over the median and then where the car ended up and there wasn't a skid mark, it's just hard to imagine that he was awake and that you would just do that and not even once think of, you know, putting on the brakes. I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions. The good thing is that he's okay. And I think the reality is we'll never find out what happened, really.
No. We certainly can't speculate. The main thing is, man, he's alive. And hopefully, you know, we'll see. Billy, we said, I mean, this is Hogan-esque. It's Alex Smith-like. It's not impossible that he won't come back. And if anybody could possibly come back, you would think it would be Tiger Woods. And maybe that'll be a reason that he, you know, works as hard. That now he's got another motivation to work like he used to work. You know, he was worried about the back, you know, when he was talking to Jim Nantz. He didn't even know if he was going to tee it up at the Masters. Now he's got the back and he's got these legs and everything. I mean, it'll be almost impossible for him to come back. But you know what? I ain't putting my money against it.
I'm not either. But also, nothing has been said about his back.
Yeah, right. Well, how's it going to heal while he's laying all this time?
You know, and he's on medication because of the pain. So there's a lot to be decided yet in the next 6 weeks. Yeah.
When your body's given out and you can't walk and he's trying to rehab, that usually puts more stress on other parts of the body.
Right.
I don't know. I listen. I'm like you guys. I'm rooting for him. I'm a fan. I like him. I'm But to me, I'm not even really thinking about the golf, to be honest with you now, because we still don't know really exactly what he's going to look like when he gets out of the hospital. And I'm assuming he's going to be on crutches.
Okay,
and what if things happen the way they did to Alex Smith? Because of everything you read, infection is pretty normal in these kind of injuries. So there's so many unanswered questions to me. I'm glad he's okay and his two kids have their dad. That's kind of my thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that was obviously, that's the biggest story of the week, of the year so far in golf, was Tiger Woods, and hopefully he gets through this. It's going to be a long and arduous process, as we talked about before. We haven't been here in a while, so there's a lot of golf to talk about. Now, you know what, we don't often do this, but let's start with the women and Annika Sorenstam coming back this week. I watched a lot of that yesterday, a lot of the tournament. And it was great. You know what? And she's the headline, and, you know, all the other, and she's, you know, she's 12 back. She's two over. So she's not in it. But for her to take a 12-year layoff, I know it's her home course, but I doubt she plays those tees or whatever. I don't know. I have no idea. But she said, I can play 14 good holes. I don't know what's going to happen on the other four before she started this. And she's getting ready for the Senior Open, which she's now 50 years old, so she can play in. But for her to be out there and to make the cut, guys, and it was just great. Hey, when was the last time we talked about women's golf, and it's on ESPN, one of their lead golf stories, because of Annika Sorenstam.
And Lydia Ko is winning at 10 under.
Right.
But I think it just shows, you know, she was just a special golfer during her career and achieved a lot of things that a lot of women have never done. And so the comeback, she's really getting ready for the Senior Ladies U.S. Open this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tournament was at her golf course. She prepared for it, and she made the cut. I think it's a great story.
Yeah.
It brings some
not relevance, but it obviously brings some attention to the women's tour, which we haven't had.
Yeah, exactly right. And how about Bill, the commissioner of the LPGA, moving over to being the commissioner of the USGA? That was kind of a shocker.
It is also interesting. I think John brought up a good point that Annika Sorenstam, who hasn't played, I believe, since 2008, I read.
13 years.
Gives so much attention to the LPGA, and, you know, we've talked about this a lot on the show, and as you know, I've said it a million times, the quality of play with these ladies is fantastic, but no one moves the needle. And that they got a very bad break when Annika retired early and Reyna Ochoa, and no one has picked that up. And it's interesting to me that 13 years later, or however long it's been, Annika Sorenstam, at age 50, making the cut, which is a tremendous feat, having not competed. But she is really kind of the story, and it kind of highlights to me that they just don't have that person that moves the needle. Lydia Ko, young superstar, getting her game back with Sean Foley's great. But it's interesting that it took someone who hasn't played in over 10 years to really and truly move the needle in ladies' golf.
Yeah.
Annika Sorenstam.
Now, 72 wins, guys. She's the now obviously not at the same level, but she's the Tiger of golf, of women's golf.
Yeah, I mean, Nicklaus did that when he was Raymond Floyd, won after he was 50, you know, but he didn't have a family, and I think it's the story of the week. But Tiger kind of stole their thunder.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah, if it wasn't for that, well, we got a lot more to talk about. We haven't talked about we can go back to the AT&T. We got we got last week at Riviera. And we've got this week, which is a great tournament with a lot of huge names on the leaderboard. We've got a lot of stuff to do right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, 26 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Charlie. What about Insperity, Charlie?
Insperity is really working hard helping small businesses after what they've been through with lack of business? How do you keep your business going when the revenue is not there? How do you, you know, so you call it expert like Insperity, an HR company established in 1986 and has a great record of success. And there's just different ways you have to look at your business and scales of economy and get your insurance better for your employees and goes on and on and on. But the one thing I know is Insperity is one heck of a company, and they are great to deal with. Their attitude is how they take their customers and their employees. Their employees, this is one of the top three companies in Houston, Texas to work at. And so if you're in the market, if you need some help with your small business, give Insperity a look-see on the website and call, and they'll send an expert out. And, John, they're great people.
Get that job done.
They're even my sponsor for my charity event next Monday, which is sold out.
Oh, yeah?
We're raising money for the Charlie Epps Scholarship Fund.
Oh, that's neat.
Isn't that exciting?
That is great.
Yeah, Insperity and Chicago Title have chipped in, and then the golf people at Golf Club of Houston have you know, gave us a club and support from the PGA.
That's great.
So it's really good.
And Charlie put his name on it. Billy, give him back to the community. Plus, he's the president of the Spirit, which is a huge, huge. Look at Charlie. Just doing it for all the people, Bill.
All the people.
Yeah. That's what
Charlie, baby.
That's good. Bringing it. All right, let's go back because we haven't been together. We didn't get to talk about the final rounds of the AT&T guys.
Berger.
Daniel Berger with that eagle on 18 to win. I mean, he and Nate Lashley.
I don't want to think of that.
My goodness. He lost $500,000. If he finishes second, he gets $800,000. He ended up in a tie for fifth and got 300. He lost over $500,000 on that four putt.
Yes, he did. But as they say, it wasn't his yet anyway. So he really didn't.
No. How many times do you see a guy four putting like that? I mean,
I think what I got out of that hole was when he hit his second shot, he was holding his follow through, thinking he'd really hit a good shot.
Yeah.
You know, so the ball's in the air. He's tied for the lead in a tour event. And so in his mind, I'm sure he executed the shot as good as he could hit it. And one bounced over that green. And then the meltdown happened. And I give him credit for playing the last two holes in one under.
Yeah.
A lot of times after something like that, boy, it's not easy to hang in there. So in a funny way, I couldn't believe, Charlie, and you've played there a lot. I've been to Pebble Beach a lot. The shots that they hit into the last green, that is such a small green. I don't think they got enough credit. The iron shot that Maverick McNealy hit, and Berger's shot, that green is designed for a wedge. They're going at that thing from 250 yards. They were unbelievably good shots.
Mm-hmm. And with the 3-wood, mm-hmm. and he stopped it.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, and by the way, I'm going to Pebble Beach for spring break with my family.
Are you, Charlie?
I got a big room overlooking the ocean.
Yeah.
I'm big time in it.
Yeah, you sure are.
Good to be Charlie Epps, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it's good. It's great to be Charlie Epps. Well, hey, guys,
How would you evaluate Jordan Spieth's
That's what
effort?
I'm saying. Charlie, he finishes tied for fifth, tied for third, then he finishes 14th in three consecutive weeks. Jordan Spieth playing, guys, but not getting over the top, but it's so hard to win anyway. But it was great to see him compete.
His arrow's pointing up, the way I look at it, is pointing way up.
Yeah.
Whether he won or not, to me, wasn't that as big a deal. I think his arrow's pointing up, and I'm happy for him. I think it's great. I think the game is a little better when Jordan's in there. He has something about him. He's a fighter. He's a grinder. He's a scratcher, a clawer. He kind of hits it all over the lot, but he pulls off these miracle shots. So I think the game is good. And Tony Finau right back there again this week, you know.
How about that?
And he didn't lose last week. He shot 64 the last round of Riviera. That's not backing up, baby.
No.
That's pretty damn good.
Well, when Max Homa
is good.
Max Homa being able to come back from that miss on 18 to win the tournament and actually beat him. When he missed that putt, I thought, well, Tony's got this now.
And then he drives it right next to that tree. And
yeah. Oh, how about that?
Has a little Massey shot. You know, that showed a lot of class, Bill, a lot of touch.
It was unbelievable that he got there.
He never wavered either. He never slumped his shoulder down when he saw it. He handled himself beautifully. I did a little speech with Ian Baker Finch on Tuesday, and that's the first thing he said was, he watched Homa when he saw his ball up against the tree, and he immediately went into trying to figure out how to play the shot. His shoulders didn't slump. He didn't act defeated. And anyone that's played golf, you miss a putt like that to win, and then you get that break. And to not be fazed by it says an awful lot about Max Homa, in my book.
Well, he had that goal of having Tiger Woods, his idol, give him the trophy. And so he really fought hard, and he accomplished that goal.
And then 2 days later, how about that?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And, man, I felt bad for Sam Burns. Sam Burns, and then, but the day before as well, that stretch on the back, yeah, got to him, and it got to him again.
That's Riviera.
Yeah, yeah, and but he still fought, and he had that lead for so long.
Too long.
Yeah, where you're thinking about it, huh?
Yeah.
And here comes Tony Finau, and he's passing you by, and Max Homa as well, and it's like, and you could just see, but I was rooting for Sam Burns as well. He was playing so darn well. And now this week, guys, look at this leaderboard we got with Koepka on top. Now Koepka won. I don't know if we talked about that either. Yeah. Koepka won a month ago, whatever it was.
In Phoenix,
at Waste Management, Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
And pulled away from the field at the end. And now here he is, boys. You know, I guess the knee is better. He certainly looks like that guy again, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He looks confident, and he's swinging aggressively, Bill. And it's amazing. And I really... not a fan of his golf swing for some reason. It just looks a little disjointed, but he's not afraid to pull the trigger.
No, he plays to win. He seems to be one of those few guys that gets calmer when he's in the hunt. He openly talks about how he doesn't think about results. He just tries to execute the shot. And Morikawa's in there. Morikawa really hasn't played well since he won the PGA at Harding Park. Hasn't played poorly. But, you know, a young man winning a major that early, his game is starting to come around. Webb Simpson in there, Finau. It's a very good leaderboard. You know, there's 10 guys within three shots. So I'm looking for a pretty good weekend here. But Koepka, it'll be interesting, Charlie, because he had a kind of a slump of his own. For him to win, if he does win, to win a couple times in a three-week stretch would be pretty impressive. And once again, the game is in good hands. Every week, one of the top players is playing good. So I think, I know I would love to have Tiger in the mix, but the young guns are all playing pretty good. So it seems like every week that they tee it up, they're right in there fighting for the titles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was really classic of Koepka showing his set of clubs that he busted or, you know, cracked every shaft over his knee. And it reminded me of a story of a guy named Butch Harmon that
threw his bag
into the lake.
And that story's been embellished.
And joined the Army, and Claude said, well, at least you could have joined the Navy and gotten my clubs out of the lake. So
you got nothing on old Butchie going how to break a club. In fact, Butch might have taught him how to do it. Butch was good at it. Butch could break a club and you didn't even know he broke it. He had a way of doing it. He taught it to me also.
You learned that?
I could break a club while the ball was in the air and the two pieces would be in the bag by the time the ball came down and nobody would even know what happened.
I did that one day and I accidentally picked up my ball and put it in the bag and I was disqualified.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with more on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't you go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. You had mentioned it, Bill, that Morikawa, you know, we haven't really heard from him since his PGA. But it happens so often. Remember Bubba's first Masters. We didn't hear from him, from Mike Weir. And look at and watching this week, because Phil has brought all the attention to the seniors, to the Champions Tour as well, going for his third straight win, first guy to win his first three tournaments, and he's right there, you know, at three under with and out of bounds, and yet he's able to shoot three out of the mud. He's able to birdie. That's just Phil being Phil. But why do you think it happens, guys? Guys get that first big win, and then you don't hear from them for a while.
It's such a relief, and you get a little money in the bank, and you've been working hard, and so they kind of relax, I think. I mean, there's other guys that'll, you know, do it back-to-back, but, you know, it's such a you know, a great experience to win and to know you can do that and to make $1.5 million. And they've been fighting it, you know, Homa has been fighting it on and off the tour for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to do that, and he wins almost $1.8 million, not 3-year exemption. Wow.
That's awesome. Awesome. Bill, any thoughts?
Well, I think in Morikawa's case, you know, it was a major. And very young man, very good player, and he seems to have all the attributes. He handled himself so beautifully, but... You know, with the major comes all the attention. So the next major, I believe, was the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. And, you know, so he's doing all the press conferences and all that stuff. And I think it just takes some time to get comfortable in that role. You know, up until his rookie year on tour, other than the real golf geeks that follow golf, like myself, probably a lot of people had never heard of him, but I knew how good he was. So I think, you know, when you look at all the attention that Rory got when he came out and he started winning all those majors and everybody said, oh, he's going to win 10 or 15, you know, and all this stuff. And now he hasn't won one in I don't know how long. But, you know, you're a young man. Like Charlie said, you make all this money. You got the attention every week. And I just think it takes time for them to mature and figure out how to handle it and how to move forward from it. And then you have the rare people like the Tiger or Phil or the Arnies and the Jacks that they didn't play for those reasons to make money. They played to win. And so that was their only goal, was to win every time they teed it up. And they're the rare birds. I think the people that don't figure it out right after a win are totally normal. Absolutely normal in my opinion.
Yeah, as opposed to Jack Nicklaus. But let's talk a little bit about that tournament. Did you get to watch any of the champions yesterday, Bill? Mike Weir played beautifully. He looks like he hit some unbelievable shots. He's leading by one over Scott Verplank. But Phil, and watching Phil and Freddie play together, par five, Phil's you know, driving it. Freddie's out driving him. Freddie, I mean, can still boom. He's still boom boom. He can still go with Phil, he's 12 years older than Phil. And yet he's still able to hit it. Actually, he was out driving him on some of the holes. Unbelievable.
Silky swing still.
That's unbelievable how sweet.
Old.
Yeah. It's the same stuff. Same beautiful swing that he's always had. He's still got the back issues.
Yeah.
He didn't even know if he's going to be able to tee it up this week. But he was playing pretty well. They had a nice Furyk and Phil and Freddie all together. That was a good group to watch. But Phil going for his third straight, it seems like it's unfair when that star comes out at 50 years old, doesn't it?
Unfair it is, but yet it's a celebration tour. It's an exhibition tour. Guys are rewarded for a long, you know, PGA tour, you know. So this is but these guys are professionals and they're really good. And Furyk is incredible. But Mike Weir, Bill, has really come back strong. I mean, he went through about 8 years after that Masters victory and didn't do anything. But he's coming back. He changed coaches, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know what he's done, but he's made a real nice comeback because he kind of went into the abyss of, you know, really playing poorly and fell right off the map, actually. And so to see him come back like this, boy, I tell you, a lot of people never get their confidence back. It's not as easy as people think it is. A lot of guys, they just fade away. And so I'm happy for Mike, but because of I know how hard it is to come back in this game. And there's never a law saying you're ever really truly going to get all that confidence back. So I agree with you, Charlie. I think he's done a heck of a job. I don't know who's coaching him, but whoever is has done a good job with him.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about you guys, but I was feeling old when I was watching Kyle McCumber play. I was like,
yeah.
That's Mark's kid?
The kid.
Okay. Yes. What the heck happened to all these years? His kid's out there competing right now.
Yep. Yeah,
and looking pretty. He was looking pretty good doing it. So many good stories. I tell you, it was a shame Patrick Cantlay couldn't. Guys, Patrick Cantlay is playing as well as anybody. He's up there every week. He was up there with Jordan. I mean, those two are playing great golf. It seemed like every week they're competing over in California. Now it's a little different. What's the difference now, guys? When we go to Florida from California. There's a lot of guys that play great in California, and it's so much different when they get to Florida.
Grasses.
That's it.
Poana versus Bermuda, where you grow up, you know, California, you know, is a different animal. And Bill, you've grown up, now you're in Palm Springs where there's a lot more Bermuda, but it's still, don't you think, the big thing in Florida are the grasses?
Yeah, the grasses, and it's always windy. Totally kind of different types of courses. The courses that they played on the West Coast, they play a lot of traditional layouts, and then they go to Florida, and the recovery shot really basically is a drop from a water hazard. So, you know, if you looked at Riviera, you could take a swing after a bad shot. They go to Florida after a bad shot, and it's in the water. I think the courses are totally different. Charlie said the grasses are totally different. It's always windy. There are some people that don't like playing off that kind of grass, but now you have so many players, Charlie, that live in Florida that mm-hmm. are used to it. And so, but you're right, John. It's a different thing. Some of the guys play on the West Coast, and they don't play well in Florida, but then they like it when the tour gets to, you know, the Muirfields where they start playing on bent grass. So there's a lot to that of players liking certain surfaces and not liking other surfaces.
Plus, there's no state income tax in Florida.
Well, but guys like winning there better. you ain't gonna get a tax nearly as much. I think I said Kyle. It's Tyler McCumber, obviously, and he had that finger. He had to cut his glove. Nail. He couldn't take his glove off. Yeah, almost lost his. Yeah, it was just horrible. And yet he played great the first two rounds and then kind of lost it. But he was right up there at the top of the leaderboard the first couple of rounds, which was really, really nice. And we've got, well, I don't even know. I don't think I've been here since Patrick Reed. I play out at Carlton Woods a bunch, a beautiful course here in Houston. And Patrick's a member out there. And they still got the sign out there for his Farmers. His Farmers win, one win by five, a little controversial, but his win by five. And he's right up there near the top of the leaderboard, just three back this week. But we got a great leaderboard this week with Koepka up there, Morikawa, Horschel. Matthew Fitzpatrick is playing. He seems like he's up there at the top of leaderboards every week.
Good young player. But the guy I'm surprised with is Dustin Johnson.
Yeah,
he's back in 56th place.
Yeah, and last week too. I mean, it's hard. How hard is it though?
He better get Claude back.
Yeah. Is that it? That's it.
You know, I think that Dustin Johnson is one of the great players that I truly don't worry about when he's playing poorly because he has no rear view mirror. He's cool hand Luke. I don't know of all the really great players. When he has a bad stretch, I don't really think it bothers him much, Charlie. And he's going to go out and freewheel it and keep doing what he does. And so when he has a little bit of an off stretch, I don't know why. I just always have this thing in the back of my mind that old Dustin will be just fine come from Augusta time.
Well, I don't know him, but he just doesn't seem like he's a deep thinker. But he just, yeah, he just lets every, like the defensive back, you get burned. Oh, well, let's go. Let's go. We got another play.
That's it.
Let's go play. That doesn't seem like he thinks about it too hard. Who knows? You gotta figure he's gonna win every week because that dude is so talented. So good.
You take Matthew Wolf, who came on tour and almost won the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, and now he's shooting 83 and withdrawing. This is the second time he's withdrawn in 4 weeks. He's got that funny swing.
Yeah.
But there's got to be something.
But there's something wrong with him.
There's got to be something going on.
Yeah, something wrong with him.
Yeah.
I thought there was something wrong with Justin Thomas in the first round. And here he is at 5-under, guys. He was 6-over at one point.
Yeah, he had 6 bogeys the first 13 holes or something like that.
How about this? And now he's 5-under. You talk about being able to turn. Have you seen? You don't see turnarounds like that too often.
He made 10 birdies.
How's that? Any good? Rory, guys.
He's a superstar, that kid. I think he's got all the makeup, too. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he won a major this year. I think he's a prime time player, and to come back from 6-over to be 5-under shows you that he's got the grit and the gut and all that stuff. Very explosive, very long, appears to play the wind, has won a lot already as a young man. I think he's one of those guys that could go on a hot streak, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he won a major championship this year.
Yeah, well, DeChambeau's another guy. He shoots 77. In round one, and he comes back with 64. Is that any good?
Incredible,
and unbelievable. Of course, we know about Bryson, but how do you?
It was interesting that DeChambeau missed the cut at Riviera, Don, because Charlie's been out there a lot, and that is not a bomber's course.
Oh,
and
no.
So if he was going to play that style at Riviera, he literally had no chance, in my opinion. He did miss the cut. Because it's all about angles at Riviera. If you do drive it offline, you better drive it in the right place. And if there was ever a course that you just couldn't get up and swing as hard as you can at and expect to compete, I would say Riviera would be that course. Wouldn't you agree, Charlie?
Oh, sure. There's so many double bogeys out there. And anytime you add in these extreme dog legs with these huge trees, it's a hard golf course. And one swing leads to another, but those stretch, you know, those par fours on the back, you can really make two or three doubles real quick.
And those
sixes add up.
Well, who's ever putting bunkers in the middle of the greens? They got to stop that stuff. We can't have that anymore. That's 53 past the hour. We got another segment. We will wrap it up on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. We've got a couple minutes left here. Bill, you mentioned you think Justin Thomas is going to win a major this year. I'm putting it out there. I think Schauffele is going to win a major. He was playing so well. Not great this week, but... He is just so tough and so good, top 10 player in the world, and he is. I think he's going to have himself a breakthrough year, boys.
Really?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I like watching him play too.
I just keep seeing him back up some. You know, he gets it going real good, and then all of a sudden. But hopefully, you're right because I like the kid. He is playing well and hits a lot of good shots, Bill, and his swing doesn't look that complicated.
No, it looks very good. Bill Haas played with him recently, and he said he couldn't believe how good he was. He said he was really, really good. So when your peers say that, that's usually a pretty good deal when the guys that know what good is say it. And he said he was really, really good. And they also said he's actually a better guy than he is a golfer. So that was kind of nice to hear. You know, Matthew Fitzpatrick has been kind of hanging around here recently, close to the lead. He's a quality young player. You know, he could be somebody who could break out this weekend or Maybe Tony Finau might get that win, as he's on an incredible hot streak. Not getting enough credit for it because everybody's trying to figure out what's wrong with him. But 3 seconds in a row, it's hard to criticize that in my book.
Well, he's had like 40 top tens now.
He's got the most top fives without a win in golf history, right? I mean, he's so good. And everybody said, and there's another guy, Bill, you know, everybody wants to play with him
in the
Ryder Cup or the President's Cup because he's such a great guy.
They all love him.
Yeah.
I've never heard a bad word about Tony Finau. Not one bad word.
That's a guy I'm going to root for. So I'm picking him this weekend, boys. Good. I'm going to pick Tony Finau to come through and win. He's just a couple back. So I'm not going out on a limb, but I'm picking Finau to overcome Koepka. Who you got there, Charlie?
Boy, oh boy. I'm impressed with what Koepka's doing. And concession, that golf course is really tight. It's one of Jack's best golf courses he designed with Tony Jacklin. So I'm going to go
with Koepka. Who you got, Bill?
Who am I picking?
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick.
He's got Matthew Fitzpatrick. Well, we're done. That flew by, boys.
I'm going out on a limb here.
Good to be back with you guys, and we'll be back again next week on the Charlie F's Golf Hour.
See you next week, Bill.
Talking golf. Guys. I'm brought to you by Insperity. Y'all have a great golf week, everybody.